Today on Real Radio.
Going through the narrow gate and traveling on the narrow road, Jesus says. He says there's going to be few, or not a few, who in the end will seek to enter in, and they're not going to be able to.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. Scripture is rife with prophecies of those who would say that they are believers when in fact they're not. Sometimes these individuals are deceivers, sometimes they're deceived themselves. Well, our teacher's presentation is taken from one of these difficult passages, the words of Messiah himself in Luke 13 and verses 18 through 30. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a study called A Mega Warning.
Paul the Apostle warned about this, and he gave a mega warning to the Ephesian believers in Acts chapter 20, verse 29. Acts 20, 29, Paul said, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." Church, can you handle that? Can you imagine? People Paul warned about will go to church to try to destroy the church. And he says they're going to come in and they're going to not spare the flock. "And from among your own selves," that's within the church, "men will rise up speaking perverse things." The word perverse means to misinterpret, misrepresent, or to distort. "And to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember." He's speaking to a bunch of pastors. "Watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn you every night and day with tears over this matter," Paul said. Thirdly, under this point, a mega warning about appearances is what some things look like can be ugly. Good growth, bad growth, and ugly growth. Verse 20 and 21. "Again, he spoke to them and said, 'What shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened.'" The whole sentence structure of this, and again, put on your Jewish mind, leaven in Scripture is not good, and a woman generically is not good, usually in the context, not always. This woman by stealth sneaks in. Remember, the audience is Jewish. Remember what Jews think about leaven? Not good. She sneaks in and does she announce to everybody that she put yeast or leaven in the bread? No. It says that she hid it in the bread. Why? To leaven the whole lump or the whole bunch of dough, you know? She's going to pollute it. Jesus is saying, watch out. The kingdom's going to grow into a big, massive thing. Birds are going to lodge in the branches of it. And I'll tell you what, I'll give you another parable, he says. It's like a woman who sneaks around and she puts yeast or leaven in a bunch of dough and ruins the whole thing. Now, ladies, you know this. I don't know this. I've only read about it. But I guess if you put yeast in dough, it causes the thing to ferment. And it may smell great, but it gets jumbo, gigantic. And the Jews are not into bread like that. They want unleavened or matzah. Why? Why is that important? Because 98 times in the Bible, you ought to write that down, 98 times in the Bible, leaven is mentioned, and always, always, without exception, it is a type or symbol of evil. Do you see now how Jesus speaks to the Jewish mind in this teaching? And they got it. Wow! The kingdom's going to grow and there's going to be evil stuffed inside of it? Yep. That's right. By the way, Exodus 12:15 tells us about leaven being evil and undesirable. And 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6 tells us, "Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump?" What does that mean? You put a little bit of yeast and it'll ruin the whole thing. Leaven in a house today, if you think about it, of course, Jesus is speaking spiritual things. Do you have any yeast in your house? That's not the point. He's talking about sin. Imagine having sin in your house. Having sin in your home. You guys, I told you this before. It's been a long time, but it's amazing. When we talk about leaven, something that pollutes, poisons the house, I'm going to tell you this story. It's absolutely awesome. You guys all know Dr. Jack Hayford, Church on the Way in Van Nuys. Dr. Hayford was called to christen to open up one of their big, big, big four square churches. And he came to speak there. And it was the big opening service. Brand new facility. Church is growing. Everything's fantastic. And if you know anything about Jack Hayford, this man is in tune with the Spirit of God. And he opens up his Bible and he's teaching and he's talking and teaching and doing his Jack Hayford thing. You guys know what I'm talking about? Powerful guy. He's going along. And right in the middle, and there are thousands of people present, he stops. And he says, ladies and gentlemen, church, we have to stop. Something's wrong. There's just something wrong. This is not working. And they thought, what's wrong with him? And he stopped, and he said, we need to pray. And he starts praying. Lord, I don't know what's wrong. Like a little kid. Father, show us. What's the matter? This is a brand new church, brand new people. I mean, big, big people. Wonderful. Thank God. There's something wrong here. People thought he was crazy. You know what he did? He got off the stairs and he went over to the air conditioning vent in the midst of thousands of people. And he said, we need to tear up this vent right here, right here. Tear off the grate on this vent. And they stopped the service. They tore up the vent. And in the air conditioning duct, hidden there was a stack of Playboy magazines in the air conditioning duct. They removed them. Hayford went back to the pulpit and began to teach the Word of God. That is a miracle. That's discernment, and that's a pastor. A little leaven, spiritually. There was poison there. It ruined the whole house. Why? Because there's demonic activity that traffics around those kinds of things. Think about it. Amazing. Awesome. Ugly. Growth can be ugly. If the Word of God is not going out clearly, in a church, you can have a tremendous band, or you can have a great program this way, or you can have graphics that way, or you can have the seats that vibrate and massage your back. You can have a pastor that's funny or dynamic or this way or that way or big time this or a big time that. Who cares? Is the Word of God going out clearly? And that Word, by the way, will attract God's people. But it will also attract ugly growth as well. That's why we need pastors in this day and age. If a church begins to get ugly, avoiding the Word of God, looks great by appearance though. Oh my, my. Look at all those people. Watch out. Because ugly can also mean that a church can be a gossiping church. That's not good growth. Get a bunch of gossipers together. They're emissaries of Satan. They may be Christians, but they're backslidden. A church begins to tolerate evil. All kinds of things could be wrong. Big growth doesn't mean holiness. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Holy Spirit expressly says that in the last days, that's before Christ returns, some will depart from the faith. Well, who will depart from the faith? Some. Who are they? I don't know. But I know they'll depart from the faith. Church, listen, you don't know who either. Just make sure you don't depart from the faith. And they will give heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. 2 Timothy 3:5. You guys okay? You're very quiet. You all right? Okay. 2 Timothy 3:5. That there will be those in the last days having a form of godliness, appearance, but denying the power thereof. And from such people turn away from them. For of this sort are those who creep into households and take captive gullible women loaded with sin, led away by various lusts. Always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith. Amazing times, huh? This is what, by the way, you say, I didn't hear that verse before. These are pastoral verses that translate into the health of a body. Point number two, a mega warning about apathy. The first warning is about appearances. The second warning is about apathy. Verses 22 to 27. It's a mega warning. And this one is about us fighting apathy. Being apathetic to the fight is a dangerous thing. We need to fight that, but listen, an apathetic believer doesn't realize they're in a fight. Verse 22, and he went through the cities and the villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. By the way, he's going to Jerusalem for his last time. This is when Jesus will die. He will not be going back. Then one said to him, a question comes from someone we do not know. Lord, are there few who are saved? I mean, Jesus, with what you're talking about, Lord, sounds like the number could be not so many. Isn't that a great question? Have you ever had that question? I've had that question. Listen to what Jesus said. I love how he answers questions. He said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, that word in Greek is not a few. Not a few, I say, will seek to enter in and will not be able. What kind of an answer is that, first of all, by the question? Are there few who are saved? Jesus' response is, watch this, it's brilliant. Jesus' response is, forget the crowd, what about you? He turns it right on the guy, and that's awesome. Forget the crowd. Well, I go to a little church. I go to a big church. I go to a medium church, like, you know, Goldilocks. Whatever church you go to ain't the issue. The issue is, are you in the church? It doesn't matter if you go to the church. Are you in the church? Well, how do I know? Strive, Jesus said. The word is agonizo in Greek. You pick up the English word? Agonize. Agonize. A true believer. Now, I know some of you who brought your friends today, they're not going to want them to hear this. But I'm telling you the truth. Listen. It means to strive. Watch. Strive hard. To agonize. To agonize at making sure that you're a Christian. Not somebody telling you a Christian. How many people have said so many times, I don't know what happened to that guy. He went forward at the crusade, but his life never changed. I guess he's saved, but you don't know that. All I know is that there are those who are truly of God. They're real heaven-bound people, Christians. And how can you tell? They strive to enter into the narrow way. They have the Holy Spirit in them, and playing games is not part of their life. They want to know the truth. And they don't want you to give them some sort of patting on the back platitude. They want to know the truth. Show me that in the Bible. Strive to contend against the sin in our lives. Yes, we're going to heaven. Yes, we love God, but doggone it, we still struggle with sin in our lives. We hate it now, don't we? We can't stand it. And that's to strive. Man, I hate when I think like that. Or as I was driving last night, somebody decided to go like 35 miles an hour in the carpool lane. First of all, I think it's illegal to go 35 miles an hour anywhere in the world, don't you? But in the carpool lane? And I'm telling you, God convicted me because I'm coming along and I just pull up. What? What? And I had somebody in the car with me. Think I was legal in the carpool lane. And I said I had somebody with me. And I said, why did this person decide to park here? And then I had to think, that's not right. It's not right. They should be going 35 miles an hour in the carpool. And then my next comment out loud in front of a witness. What are they doing? And then the Lord said, That's all he had to say. And I was convicted. Convicted. Never found out why they were in that lane, but I was convicted. God said, don't just check. Strive. You have to contend with evil in your life, and I have to contend with evil in my life. The difference is we now hate it. Enter in through the narrow gate. Will you mark that narrow? Oh, no. See, if you want the church to grow, loosen it up, buddy. Broaden it out. Don't talk about sin. Nobody will come back. God's people will. Are you guys listening to this? This is important. Jesus, Paul the Apostle, John, James, Peter, Jude, every time they preached the gospel, they said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. They did not say, feel good about yourself, think highly of yourself. It's all about you, man. See you next week. Hey, that feels good, doesn't it? It feels good only for a little while. Only for a little while. The truth of the matter is the gospel is spiritual and it has effect. It is powerful. And when the Bible says that we are to believe on him whom God raised from the dead, that matters. Well, I just believe in all kinds of things. I just want to cover all the bases. And there's churches like this. They loosen up the word of God, thinking that by bringing people in, it's a mark of God moving. And it's deception. Preach the word, God's people will come. Strive. Enter in through the narrow gate. We'll end at this point, but before we do end, I want to stress a few things here. Going through the narrow gate and traveling on the narrow road, Jesus says. He says there's going to be few, or not a few, who in the end will seek to enter in, and they're not going to be able to. What does that mean? We'll touch on it next time together. But it means that there's a time issue, that you're running out of time. They know what to do. I hope if you're here today and this is where you're at, you know that you should accept Christ. You've heard that before. But Jesus is warning, it's a narrow gate. It's a narrow road. And many people are on that path. But there will come a time when the opportunity will be over and you will not be able, even though you know it. Hey, I know that. I know what I'm supposed to do, but I didn't do it. It will be too late someday. Can you imagine thinking like that? I should have. You ever said that? Man. A lot of people today are saying, I should have sold my home 2 years ago. Right? Jesus said that's going to happen spiritually someday. Someone's going to say, I know how to get into the kingdom. I heard that before. Hey, let me in. Time's up. Powerful, huh? And then we end with this. The narrow and the straight road. I want to drive this home. No pun intended. But I want to talk about truck drivers. Last night, again, I told you I was driving. I'm driving along. And it dawned on me about something. First of all, truck drivers amaze me. Did you know that there's nothing on your body that did not come from a truck driver? They are absolutely the backbone of America. Think about it. When you drive and you're near truck drivers, have you noticed that if you're on a windy road, I've never seen any problems. You know, you parallel, if it's a two-lane, you're going with them. And it's no problem. Why? The road is windy. And maybe because like you, you're paying close attention to stay within the lines. There's a cliff on one side or whatever. It's a windy road. A road meanders, and it's fine. Have you noticed, though, when you're driving on a long haul, on a long trip? Now, you and I may be taking a road trip for vacation reasons, and we're looking out the window, we're talking about that, and having a great old time. But you know what? Truckers tell me that it's the long, long desert, 150-mile stretch of roadway that's straight as an arrow that they fall asleep on. That's where you'll see the truck. You ever seen them start to go into the shoulder of the road? Or come into your lane? Huh? Why? Because when you get on the straight and narrow, the temptation is to become complacent or apathetic. There's no challenge. There's nothing pressing. It's easy now. Oh, my life is easy now. How's it going for you? It's so much better. It's so easy now. That's great. Could be bad, could be good, could be ugly, could lead to apathy. Church, are you with me? Where are you on this? The danger, Jesus said, it's a straight and narrow path. And you got to go that way to get into heaven. But apathy will cause you to swerve or to drift. And we have to be very careful about that. Church, you and I, our lives are on the straight and narrow. There's one way for us to stay true, and that's to be on the straight and narrow with constant feeding upon the Word of God, fellowship with God's people, praying together and alone, seeking the Lord, and listen, and activating your faith for Christ. If you say yes to all those things but leave out the activation part, oh, I'll pray, I'll read, I attend, but nobody's dependent upon your faith. Nobody needs you to be serving because you're not serving. Nobody, there's no parking lot attendants. You know how Ramon was saying, we need parking lot attendants. Did he say give you a vest? You know, why did we put that in the announcements? Because men love to look, give me a vest, I'll do it. I told him, on the way back from the announcements, as I was coming out, I told Ramon, I said, you want to get a lot of men to do the parking lot? He said, yeah, we need a lot of men. I said, give them a gun. Think about it. Hey, we need parking lot attendants. You'll get a vest, you'll get a flashlight, and we'll give you a 45. Oh, dude, where do I sign up? Listen, activate your faith. You say you have faith, watch out. Put it into practice. Do it. Do it, do it, do it. And for those of you this morning, you're not sure. Man, God's speaking to your heart. You talk to him this morning. Say, Lord, where am I in all of this? Do I know you, Jesus? Do I understand this? If there's no striving in your life, moment by moment, day by day, and even what I'm saying right now is amazing because only the believer will understand what I'm saying. I'm gonna talk code to you right now. Only the real Christian knows that every day is a challenge and it's difficult. Oh yeah, we win every day. Truly, it's a tremendous day, no matter what kind of day we have. We lay down with Jesus at night, amen? But it's been a tough day. Why? Because we're for real. If you don't know that, then you don't know him. And you're gonna someday be, hey, let me in. Next time together, we'll see that he'll turn and say, excuse me? I don't know who you are.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called A Mega Warning. It's a study taken from a warning of the Messiah himself in Luke chapter 13 and verses 18 through 30. It's part of our journey through this fascinating New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we've all seen the stickers and decals and such that tell us never to forget 9/11, and that's certainly a very good and appropriate admonition, but here's a better one. Learn why 9/11 happened. And here's one way to do that. Outspoken author and native daughter to Lebanon, Brigitte Gabriel, was our featured speaker on 9/11 of this year here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Gabriel is the author of the books Because They Hate and They Must Be Stopped, and she's experienced the evils and terror of radical Islam firsthand. Well, we're making that televised speech by Brigitte Gabriel available on DVD for your contribution to the continuing outreach of Real Radio of any amount. You can visit realradioactive.org, and you'll know right where to point and click, realradioactive.org, or make a toll-free phone call at 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, California.